Take your Bibles, turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter 5. Ephesians, chapter 5, we'll read verses 22 through 33 together. Ephesians, chapter 5, verses 22 through 33. We'll read this passage responsibly. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for what you've done for us. Thank you for the privilege of our church, for our church having a man of God like we have. Now, Father, please, our church will only be as strong as our homes and our marriages. Please, fill our preacher with your power as he preaches. May we listen. May we apply it to our lives, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
All right. I want you to listen to me very carefully this morning. As we were reading through Ephesians chapter number 5, we see the topic of marriage being discussed. The title of my sermon this morning is this: Emergency Medical Marriage. Emergency Medical. Here, let me try that again. Emergency Medical Advice for Your Marriage. In Ephesians chapter 5, the Bible over and over again compares marriage and a husband and wife relationship to a body. And it talks about us becoming one flesh when two people get married. In verse number 27, it begins to talk. It uses terms that have to do with the body. It says here that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle. Now, wrinkle there, that is something that the flesh does. And then it says but that it should be holy and without blemish. There again, talking about the blemish of the body. When you get to verse 28, it says, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. In verse number 29, it says, for no man have yet hated his own flesh, but nourished it. And it's talking about feeding it and keeping it healthy. In verse number 30, it talks about the body and the flesh and the bones. In verse 31, again, it talks about the flesh. And so God here is talking about this union between a man and a woman, and it becoming one flesh, and he begins to compare it to a body. And what I think God is saying to us, I want to, of course, the human body, we want it to be healthy. When you get married, God wants your marriage, as it pictures a flesh, a body, God wants that to be healthy as well. Let me ask you a question today. Is your marriage healthy? Is it a healthy marriage? There are great epidemics of health problems and diseases in the history of America, and even currently. You take, for instance, there were three major bubonic plagues or epidemics of that disease. And in the 6th century, the 14th and the 17th centuries, the bubonic plague came. 137 million people died as a result of the bubonic plague. Then, right now, sexually transmitted diseases are at an epidemic stage in America. Get this. 15 million new cases of some type of a sexually transmitted disease. 15 million cases every year, brand new. Now, that's not 15 million combined. That's 15 million sexually transmitted diseases, new cases, every year. It's at an epidemic stage. We're right now on the news. They're talking about the flu and the flu vaccination. And of course, they every once in a while, we use the term. And, you know, if an epidemic broke out and people are concerned about that. You take, for instance, in the last couple of years, we had what they called the anthrax scare and fear that this terrorist-induced epidemic that was possible with this thing called anthrax. But let me tell you something. There is another epidemic going on in America, and it is a disease of our marriages, and our country is withering away because of it. Anthrax was brought on by the terrorists, but I believe that the old devil, he too is a terrorist, and I think that he is causing disease and initiating disease in our families, in our homes, and in our marriages. I spend a lot of my time with people that are spiritually ill, people that are they're sick spiritually. Now, let me tell you something about this thing called marriage. Marriage in America, the divorce rate, again, it's up. And if you read somewhere that someone says, well, the number of divorces in America is declining, the only reason they could even begin to say that is because the number of people that don't even get married anymore, they just live together. They don't get married, and then and I think the philosophy almost is, why get married? Why get married? It's not going to last. That didn't make it right. You're still supposed to get married according to the Bible. But they say, well, it's on a decline. Well, that's because the number of marriages are declining in the sense that people just don't even take the time to get married anymore. They just live together. Now, let me explain something to you. There is no such thing as a perfect marriage. It does not exist. And the storybook marriages, that's why they're storybook. But there's no such thing as a perfect marriage. You say, why is that? Well, you married a woman, didn't you? Come on, wake up and smell the coffee, bud. No, honestly, you take two sinners, you take a man who's a sinner, and you take a woman who's a sinner, and when they come together in a relationship, you don't suddenly have a perfect situation because you've got two sinners. And we're going to be sinners until the day we die and get to heaven, and I can't wait until that day. Thank God when we get to heaven, we won't sin against him anymore. But when you take a man and a woman who are both sinners, and they come together, and they are wed, or they have a wedding and get married, there's no such thing as a perfect marriage. And all of us need some good old-fashioned spiritual medicine from time to time to help our marriages. So I need you to do this. I need some of you to set up and take your medicine like a good boy. And then some of you ladies, you need to take your medicine. And at our house, when we go to give our dog a pill, we almost always have to wrap it in something, you know. Our dog don't want to swallow the pill, so, you know, we can wrap it in a hot dog. I don't have your medicine wrapped in a hot dog today. And so you're just going to have to swallow that medicine so it can, you need some medicine to help your marriage. Now, if you're a young person and you're not married, let me advise you that you set up and pay very close attention. The average young person spends more time preparing for their wedding ceremony than they take preparing for marriage. The wedding ceremony lasts for 35, 40 minutes, and the marriage is supposed to last for a lifetime. They'll spend all their time planning for a wedding and no time preparing for marriage. Well, the young people around here, I want you to be prepared for it. You set up and you listen. And tucked inside what I'm going to say today for all of you, whether you're single, if you're sitting there and you say, well, Brother Owens, I'm single and I'm not married, it's going to apply to me. Once you hear when I start talking about behavior and the way Christians are supposed to behave, it's going to apply to every one of us, married or single, young or old, it's going to apply to us all. But today you have a consultation with the doctor, that's me, call me Dr. Love today. We're going to have a consultation with you in regard to the health of your marriage. What shape is the health of your marriage? Are you in good shape? I mean, if we check the blood pressure of your marriage, is it high? Is it tense? If we took a sample of the blood, is it pure? In what shape is the heart of your marriage? Now, here's the good thing, folks. Your insurance is going to cover this all. There'll be no charge. You say, how's that? Because the Bible says in Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So you're not going to get a bill from Dr. Love, all right? Now, if you don't listen to some of the things that I say to you today, some of your marriages may come to an end and we'll have to have a funeral. We'll have to call in the guy that pronounces you dead, and I don't want that to happen. If some of you don't immediately apply some of these medical applications, then we may have to amputate some part of your happiness. Now, our x-ray machine, you see, it's going to tell us what's happening on the inside. You say, what in the world is the x-ray machine? That's the Holy Spirit of God. See, in a minute, we're just about to flip on the x-ray machine, and some of you are going to see what's going on inside your marriage. See, us human beings, we come to church, we all smile, we're happy. Some of you, as you're pulling in the parking lot, you mentally say to each other, all right, let's act happy whether we are or not. You fought all the way to church. Well, you can pull in the parking lot and you put on your Sunday go to meet and smile, and all the kids have to be happy. The kids don't help as much as what they're supposed to, you know. If they were miserable on the way to church, they still have the poochie lip disease when they get here, you know. And some of you adults do the same thing. But you try to fake it. But you know something? The old x-ray machine, when we flip it on, you're going to begin to see what's going on the inside of your marriage. You see, some of you've had some Band-Aids on for a long time, but the problem is that Band-Aid won't heal anything. You've covered up that wound, but it's only a temporary fix. If you have a gaping wound and the doctor says, here, put this Band-Aid on it, you say, wait a minute, that Band-Aid, I can bleed to death. Well, just put a Band-Aid on it. And that's what many of you do. You just go day to day and slap a Band-Aid on wounds in your marriage that needed to be fixed. You know, the best way to take care of your body is that you practice good health. Things like eating right and exercising and sleeping right and vitamins. It's called preventive maintenance. Now, for some of you, I'm going to give you some preventive maintenance. For others, we're just about to wheel you into the emergency room, and it's going to be code blue for your marriage, and we're kind of going to zap you back into reality here a little bit because you're suffering bad. I mean, the doctors are running everywhere and the nurses are running everywhere saying, this guy, he's going under. You're turning blue. You're choking on your own blood. And there's some of you need to desperately listen to what I'm about to say. Sometimes your condition, it requires a specialist, but I happen to know that Jesus, the physician, is able to heal whatever's wrong with you. Now, here's the bad thing. Some of you are going to have to be careful because your children are going to inherit your bad marriage practices and suffer some of the same sickness because they have watched you. And they're not going to know how to be successfully married. And get this, may I recommend as your doctor that you take your medicine and you let your mate take theirs? It's not a good idea to take somebody else's medicine, you know what I mean? I mean, if you've been prescribed something, you ought to take what's given to you and then you let your mate take what's been given to them. And what I'm trying to say is this, it's time for you to stop trying to change him and start changing yourself. It's time for you to stop trying to change her and you change yourself. Did you know something? Nobody on the face of this earth can change me but me. You've been saying, well, if my husband would do thus and so, you need to do thus and so. You need to get you straightened out. And by the way, you have your hands full getting your part right. You're not going to change him, and you're not going to change her. Why don't you just take your own medicine and let it straighten you up? And you ought to be a good Christian, and you ought to do right in your marriage no matter what your mate does. There's some of you in here, you'd be ready to make a bargain. I'll tell you what, my husband would get right with God, so would I. You're not going to straighten your marriage out that way. You need to decide that you're going to get right with God, and you're going to do right no matter what your mate does. If your wife is the worst hellcat on the face of the earth, sir, you need to be a good Christian husband. Don't you blame her for your misbehavior. If your husband is the biggest blockhead on the face of the earth today, ma'am, you need to be the best Christian wife that you can be in spite of what he does. So take your own medicine. Don't try to force theirs down their throat. You just take yours. Now, in this medical procedure this morning, there's some things that I think we ought to look at. For instance, are you a bleeder? In your marriage, are you a bleeder? I have a thing called Crohn's disease. Had it when I was a very young man, and one day the doctor gave me some medicine years and years ago. And this is what he told me. He said, now, when you take this medicine, you're going to have to be careful. You ever notice how many side effects the medicine has? It's supposed to make you good in one area, and the rest of you is going to rot away because you take it. And so they scare you to death. Side effects are about 18 pages long. If you've got an ingrown toenail and your leg's going to rot off, you wouldn't have to worry about the ingrown toenail. But he gave me this medicine. And he said to me, he said, now you take this. He said, I'll tell you something. He said, it's going to thin your blood. He said, and because it thins your blood, if you begin to notice your gums bleeding, or if you cut yourself and you start bleeding and the blood is quick, he said, you need to rush to the emergency room. Well, back then, I was a machinist. I spent all day long cutting things. And I don't think there ever was a week in my life that I didn't get some sort of a nick or a cut on my hands. But I remember one day, I was getting ready. I was on my way to work, and I tasted something in my mouth. And I thought it was blood, and I got to thinking, oh no, he told me if my gums begin to bleed, I need to go to the doctor, and I did, and they took me off that medicine quickly. I had taken a medicine that had caused me to be a bleeder. Some of you know what a bleeder is, somebody's blood that's extra thin, and the slightest cut, you could bleed to death if you don't get it taken care of, someone that's called a free bleeder. This is what I'm talking about in your marriage. Are you a bleeder? Are you the kind of person that can stretch out an argument forever? I mean, something happens, and this thing can go on and on and on. You're going to bleed your marriage to death if you don't stop that. I mean, there can be the slightest fuss, and it's going to last for 2 hours or 2 days or 2 weeks or 2 years. Do you bleed? Now, look. If something happens and you feel like, well, brother, once I've been cut, my mate has hurt me. Everybody gets cut from time to time. We should never hurt each other intentionally. But when it happens, if you're not careful, you're going to bleed that relationship to death by letting it go on and on and on and on. What you do is we take molehills and we turn them into mountains. It can be the smallest thing. And the ego or the pride gets in the road, and the next thing you know, we're fussing and we're fighting, and a boy, somebody can slam the door and leave for work mad and not come home until late and get up the next day and they're all mad. Hey, some of you need to put some of the issues behind you and heal up a little quicker. This thing of letting it linger and linger and linger and linger, you're gonna bleed yourself to death. Are you spiritually a bleeder? Psalm 119, verse 60, it says, I made haste and delay not to keep thy commandments. Now, you listen to me. Forgiveness and some of those other things that make for a good marriage, it's time for you to stop delaying the application of the medicine that will fix up your marriage. When you get cut, you're going to bleed. But don't grab the wound and try to pull it open and make it worse. Put it behind you. And get on. Get on with your life. There are people under the sound of my voice, you are still bleeding in your marriage over something that happened 10 years ago. 5 years ago. Now, if you're a Christian, it would seem to me like you would want to practice some forgiveness and forgetting and getting on with it and living your life as a victorious Christian marriage or as a victorious Christian family. I know a couple that when they were young, and by the way, both are passed away. You don't know who they are. You never met them. But I know a couple when they were young, this man had done something to hurt his wife. I don't know exactly what it was. Now, do you know something? They stayed married from in their late teenage years, 18 or 19 years old when they got married. They stayed married until both of them passed away, I think one in their early 90s, the other in their late 80s. Stayed married from teenage years all the way into those senior years of the late 80s and early 90s. You know something? She held against him something he did in their early 20s all the way to the grave. Matter of fact, to the point of, she would be with him physically, and he was miserable. But they stayed married for 60 plus years, but there was a grudge in that relationship all those years. Now that doesn't make any sense to me. People are going to stay married need to learn to forget and go on, and some of you are going to bleed the life out of your relationship. If you have a fuss, get it over with and go on. This thing of people living together and holding grudges and not forgiving and not forgetting, you're hurting yourself. Are you a bleeder? How healthy is your relationship? Oh, I see here, as I look at your health, there's some of you, you have some scar tissue that you're dealing with. Are you calloused? Are you hard? The Bible says in Proverbs 28:14, he that hardeneth his heart shall fall. Yeah, scar tissue. I've got a few scars on my body, and where those scars are, the skin is calloused and it's hard. Is your marriage calloused? Sir, are you calloused? Are you hard-hearted? Ma'am, are you hard-hearted about your marriage? Are you unmovable? Does your mate suffer from hopelessness? You know, what? Hopelessness? Because have you decided you're just not going to try again? Is it that you've given them the impression it will do them no good to try again? Is your life changing for the better, or is it callous? Is it hard? Have you decided I am what I am? I'm not changing. I'm not going to improve myself. Now listen, all of us could stand some improving in our marriages. Anybody here that is married, your marriage is not finished yet. You're a human being. We're sinners and we need to improve our marriages. And if we're not careful, we'll get some of this scar tissue in our life and we'll suddenly become hard. We'll become unmovable. We'll make it so we're callous and we won't make changes that need to be made. Are you changing? Let me ask you, are you actively changing, sir, yourself to better your marriage? Are you actively changing you to make your marriage better? Ma'am, are you changing yourself for the better? Are you right now undergoing some surgery on yourself that says, I am going to fix me up. I want my marriage better. I want to improve my marriage. I want it to be better. I don't want to be callous. I don't want to be unmovable. I don't want to have a hard heart. When was the last time God spoke to your heart about your part in your marriage? Well, you spent all your time saying, well, I'm going to tell you what's wrong with him. Let me tell you what's wrong with her. I said, when was the last time you let God speak to your heart about your part in your marriage? Are you callous? Do you have a hard heart? Hey, let me ask you this. If your marriage is a mess, have you shed any tears begging God to help you? Are you just so hard that those tears aren't going to come? That's sad. That's sad if your marriage is a mess, but you can't shed any tears over your marriage. You're a man and you say, well, men don't cry. Somebody lied to you, sir. It's time for some of you to get your heart broken so that maybe God could rearrange your marriage so you could have a decent life and you could have a decent marriage and you could have a decent testimony in the community in regard to your marriage. Does it bother you when your mate cries? Are you calloused? When you see tears running down your mate's face because of the pains of life, and maybe even pain that you have created, does it bother you? Are you just so tough that you can shut it out? Well, if you're that tough, you're just too tough. About what has your mate spoken to you over and over and over again, but it just does no good? They've come to you politely and they said, could we work on this? Could we get some help with this? But you won't listen. Sir, is it you? Are you the one that's calloused and hard-hearted and you won't be budged? Your wife sends up a little warning signal saying, I'm concerned about this. We need help with this. Things aren't going well here. Hey, you can't ignore the rearing of the kids forever, and you can't ignore the problems in your finances forever, and you can't ignore the fact that your wife says, honey, we're not going out on dates. We're not close anymore. We don't talk anymore. You can only ignore it so long, my friend. You're going to end up in the emergency room hoping that somebody can stitch you back together that once you have bled yourself to the point where you're within inches of death in your marriage. Now, you're going to let that happen to you? See, I see scar tissue. I see callousness. I see hardness. I see people that are unmovable. God is so merciful. Did you know what? Marriage is nature's way of keeping us from fighting with people we don't know. Gives you someone to fight you know. Marriage is a blessed opportunity. But we better be careful. We just like God compares the marriage of two people to becoming one flesh, and He wants no wrinkle, and He wants no blemish, and He wants us to come together, and He talks about a spiritual body. He would want that body to be healthy, and He'd like for your marriage to be healthy. But we bleed, and we allow ourselves to bleed, and go on and on and on and on, and draw out times that should have been fixed a long time ago. And then there's that callousness that's a result of the scar tissue. As I look at different marriages, I see things that are broken. Boy, broken bones, boy, does that hurt. But you know what the Bible says? Psalm 147, verse 3, it says, He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. Is your marriage broken? Is your heart broken? You know something, if we took the time, we could read a story in John chapter 6. In John chapter 6, verses 1 through 15, you see the story of when Jesus was preparing to feed 5,000 plus people. There was some bread there, and the Bible says, before He distributed the bread, the Bible says He broke it. He broke the bread. You see, there's something that it should encourage you. Most things that God blesses have often been through a time of breaking. If your marriage is broken and you're broken in heart, that sets you up for a wonderful thing, because there could be blessing to follow. There could be blessing to follow. Now listen, if your marriage is down, you say, Brother Owens, I'm broken in my marriage. Our marriage is broken and there are some things that are broken. Listen, if you are broken, I believe there could be blessing on the horizon, because He broke that bread, and it was a blessed bread, and then it was distributed, and it did a wonderful, wonderful thing thereafter. I remember the story of, many of you have heard of Lester Roloff. There were two or three men who had been kicked out of the Southern Baptist Convention for their stand against its corruption, and that was 60 years ago, if that tells you anything. Brother Hiles was kicked out of the Southern Baptist Convention. They kicked him out. Why? Because he would not stand for their corrupt universities and the things that were going on in the convention, and they kicked him out. The only thing was, he had the fastest growing church up until that point in the Southern Baptist Convention. It used to be strong, fundamental, and then it changed. He had lost a whole bunch of preaching meetings because he was going to stand for what was right. And that's what all preachers ought to do, stand for what is right. He stood for what was right. They kicked him out of the convention. A bunch of people said, well, we're going to cancel his meetings. He was sitting in his office one morning. His phone rang, and it was a man by the name of Lester Roloff. Now, Lester Roloff had been kicked out of Southern Baptist Convention, too, along with John R. Rice and Lee Robertson, 60 years ago. Things don't usually get better. But look, Brother Roloff, he called and he called him Brother Jack Hiles. He said, Brother Jack, you're dead this morning, aren't you? Brother Hiles said, yes. Yes, I'm dead this morning. Brother Roloff said, well, Brother Jack, ain't nothing ever been resurrected that wasn't dead first. Now, some of you feel like, Brother Owens, my marriage is dead. I don't see much hope for it. Well, I've got news for you. The Savior knows how to resurrect things. He got Lazarus up out of the grave. You say, I don't see much hope for it. We're on our last leg. We've just about bled the life out of our marriage. Well, let me guarantee you something. If you will get God involved in your marriage, He can bring that thing back to life. You can have a successful marriage. You can put this thing back together. You see, when something is broken, and when something, it seems as if it's almost dead, it does not have to die. It does not have to die. Maybe it is you need a broken heart for your marriage. What's God going to have to do, sir, to get your attention? What's going to have to take place in your life, ma'am? How low do you have to go before you decide that you want your marriage to be spiritual and you want to get it right with God where God can have what He wants out of your marriage, which, by the way, whatever God wants for your marriage is best for you. But to what degree do we have to go for God to get your attention so you'll fix your marriage? Let the brokenness of your marriage result in blessing, and nothing has ever resurrected that did not die first. And if you'd like a resurrection in your marriage, you may be near death. Let God breathe life into your marriage. And there is no marriage beyond the healing of the great physician. He can do it. As I look here at your marriage, I begin to realize there are probably you're going to need some medicine. You're going to need some antibiotics. Psalm 17, verse number 4 says, "By the word of thy lips, I have kept me from the path of the destroyer." What's it talking about? The psalmist said, "I did what the Bible said, and it kept me from being destroyed." You're probably going to need some antibiotics pumped into this marriage body that is infected and diseased. It's time for some of you to get into your Bible. Two weeks ago, I broke a tooth. I mean, broke that baby right down the middle. And I went to the dentist and they said, "Well, we'll put a temporary cap on there and then you need to go get a root canal." And this last Wednesday I went and got a root canal and then they put another temporary cap. And before I walked out, the endodontist, is that what you call the people that yank the nerves out of the middle of your tooth? He said to me, he said, "I'm going to write you a little prescription because there's a chance you might get some infection in that thing." Now, right away I said, "Chance. He must know I'm going to get infected." Boy, late last night, my old gum started swelling up. I got a great big knot in there. Mrs. Owens, I was expecting a phone call last night. Mrs. Owens ran into CVS and got me a prescription to try to get rid of that infection. You know something? In the Bible, there's a prescription for your infected marriage. You need to get that antibiotic working down inside your marriage. You say, "What do you do?" Well, did you know that here's what I'd recommend. There's some of you, if you truly and honestly would like to get some life back in your marriage, if you'd truly like to heal your marriage, if you'd truly like to get some of the disease and the fussing and the pus out of your marriage, here's what some of you need to do. You need to start memorizing some scripture in regard to marriage. The Bible says in Psalm 119:11, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee." If you will put the word of God into your heart and mind, it will work like a spiritual antibiotic to get the infection out of your marriage. There's some of you that you need to, there's some men here, you need to memorize Ephesians 5:25 where the Bible says, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church." You ought to go to Ephesians 5:25, you ought to memorize the verse, you ought to know the verse, you ought to be able to quote the verse, because something that would start to heal up some of your marriages is if your wife knew that you loved her. Say, "Well, I do." She needs to know. You say, "She's thick-headed." Well, God gave her to you so you can get through that thick head. And it's time for you to make her know that she's loved. And it's not going to work by you grabbing her and saying, "I love you, I told you I did." That's not the right way. There are some ladies here that need to memorize Ephesians 5:22 where the Bible says you're to submit to your husband. They have a medicine, it's called NyQuil. I hate the taste of that. When I was little, my mom used to give me Pepto-Bismol. Now, most kids like that. I hated the taste of Pepto-Bismol. I'd rather have the other problem than to have Pepto-Bismol in my mouth. Some of you wives right now, you're saying, "You're not going to shove that down my throat submitting to my husband." So you won't take the biblical medicine. You know, what we do is we go to the Bible and we find scriptures about our marriages and we memorize them and it becomes an antibiotic that is pumped in to our spiritual marriage or our body and it will heal us. Some of you need to get some preaching tapes on marriage. For instance, you go back here to the sermon log. There's a sermon back there called How to Save a Marriage. Some of you need to go back there and you need to order that tape and you need to get that tape and you need to listen to it over and over and over again. You need the antibiotic. You need the medicine in your marriage. You know something? There's a bunch of you just need to date. You need a date. You need to lock the kids in the closet. Or find a babysitter. Find someone that's got barbed wire in the backyard to throw your kids in there for a little while. Get them a leash and a run or something like that. But you ought to be dating. You ought to be dating and on a regular basis. It is my recommendation that you date once a week. But the least ought to be every other week. And you don't have to go out and spend money. You say, yeah, hey, it'll cost me. It's cheaper than a divorce, alimony, and support. It's funner, too. Man, there's so many hollers and back roads around here, you don't have to go. You just go find someplace to be alone. It's legal now. You young people, before you get married, it's illegal. You keep your hands off of yourself. Off of yourself, too. Probably a good idea, but keep your hands off of each other. My wife and I, I don't know how long we had been married, but I decided one night we were going to go parking for a little while. And we found this little country road and a little deserted little gravel thing, and we pulled off in there, and we were there talking intensely there in the car, necking and petting and having a good time. All of a sudden I heard a knock on my window. It sounded like something steel, like a big flashlight. It was a police officer. He shines that in there, and I'm rolling my window down. I mean, I was in the ministry at this time, and what's going on in there? I'm thinking, you fool, you don't know what's going on. He said, you have an identification? I said, we're husband and wife. He said, yeah, all right. We handed our IDs to him. He said, well, I guess you are. I'm a pastor. He's shaking his head. He's smiling from ear to ear. He said, listen, preacher, now, if you go up about a half a mile, there's a deserted farmhouse up here. Why don't you go on up there where you'll be safe? This isn't the best place for you. Oh, y'all laugh, but some of you men tonight after church, I don't want our name in the newspaper, fellas. You know, preacher said, man arrested. But you need to date. You need to date. You're supposed to date. You need to get out there and spend some time together. And don't date and go out and figure the finances at McDonald's or something. That's what I'm talking about. I think one of the funniest things I've heard in a long time. I was telling one of our Sunday school classes. I was telling them. I said, you know what you do? You're gonna keep her the way you got her. I was talking about dating and everything. She said, I'm not gonna get pregnant again. You ought to date. The antibiotic, there's some medicine that I can give you today. You need to get into the Word of God and start getting your marriage back to being a biblical marriage. Some of you need a date. Every once in a while you need to take your wife somewhere overnight. Go get a hotel. Save some money and go get a hotel so you could go away and relax and spend some time together. You need to find some books written by Fundamental Baptists. And read those books. Not everything down at the neo-Christian bookstore, but books that will teach you right. Some of you need to start praying for your marriage. You say, I am. Oh, God, kill him. No, that's a wrong prayer. That's not the prayer I'm talking about. Hey, some of you need to get in your Bible and actually start studying about some of the marriages in the Bible. You need to study about Ananias and Sapphira and see what happened to them when they didn't handle their finances right. They died. Some of you are saying, we're dying over our finances. Show up on Wednesday night. For 20 weeks in a row, I've taught people how to get their finances under control so they can have a happy marriage. Some of you need to get in the Bible and see about what happened to Lot and his wife as a result of their worldly living. He lost his wife to it. Some of you need to see the story of Hosea and Gomer. That's not Gomer Pyle for you Bible theologians. Hosea and Gomer. This woman, she took off and left her husband. She was living an adulterous lifestyle, but he just wanted to regain his wife, and then they came back together, and I really believe they lived happily ever after because everybody got right with God. The Bible gives us hope. Some of you need to take the antibiotic. You need to show up for church. I have to tell you, people come to me and they say, "Brother Lawrence, can you help me with my marriage?" Only as much as you'll let me. And you will strengthen your marriage by showing up at church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Let your marriage be biblically based. Hey, let me ask you a question. Is your marriage biblically based? Is everything you do with your marriage according to the Bible? Now, who invented marriage? God. I'm going to guess He knows all about it. He knows what will make you happy and what will make you sad, what will make you successful and what will make you unsuccessful. Why in the world wouldn't you want to go by the best book ever written on marriage? But the average person in here, you have no idea what the Bible says about marriage. You have no idea. Take the antibiotic. Is your marriage governed by the Bible? Is everything that goes on between husband and wife governed by the Bible? If not, you're not taking the medicine. You could have a healthier marriage if you just take your medicine. You know, it might be there's somebody here that in regard to this medical need, you need to have your mouth wired shut. The Bible says in Proverbs 12:18, the tongue of the wise is health. My sister Diana was in a very, very terrible car accident. She almost died many years ago. In fact, when the paramedics found her, they had to resuscitate her, and virtually the whole top of her head had been tore off, and it was a terrible, terrible accident. She teetered between life and death for a long time. When they began to put her all back together, I can remember they had to wire her mouth shut, and she could not talk. I wonder if there are some of you who just need to get your mouth wired shut for a little while to fix some of your marital problems. You say, why? Because you're rude. Why is it the people we're supposed to love the most are the ones that we're the shortest with? Why in the world the person that does the most for you is the one that you raise your voice with? We're rude. It's time to stop being rude. By the way, this is very good Bible preaching. Stop being rude. Why are you so loud? Why do you scream at your husband or scream at your wife? Well, why do you do that? I know why. It's the only way you get a woman to listen. No. You know, the Bible says a soft answer turneth away wrath. You know, I know we're in church. And this will only apply to a few, but it will apply. It's time for some of you to stop cussing at each other. It saddens me as a pastor when I find out that there are born-again people that curse at each other. That's a sin. One, you're not to curse, but you're going to curse anybody. Don't let it be your wife. Let it be your mother-in-law. No, no, no. And all God's people said, you're all so spiritual. Born again Christians cussing one another? It's ridiculous. The name calling. And what in the world good does it do for you to call your mate a name? That's wrong. That's just wrong. We're not to cuss at one another. We're not to be yelling and screaming at one another. All the complaining. Maybe we just need to get our mouths wired shut. We could probably fix some marriages if you just stopped responding. The complaining, the threatening. Come on. One more time, I'm going to leave you. You know, that worked one time at my house. We got married to stay married. I'm going to go around threatening me. You know, if you work here and you ever think you're going to threaten me, it'd be a bad idea. Well, I'm going to quit. I'd say, your check will be in your box. Threaten me? What are we doing threatening each other in marriage? You remember you said you're going to stay together? What's all the threats for? Hey, and you know what? Some of the teasing. You can be awful hard on each other. It's always picking and teasing at one another. It gets old. Whatever happened to this? Words like, thank you. Please. For instance, honey, please take your hands off my neck. Please. Try this. I'm sorry. Yes, sir. No, sir. Yes, ma'am. No, ma'am. Please. Thank you. I would be glad to. You know, you men, I'm going to give my wife a piece of my mind. I wouldn't, buddy. Most of you don't have any to spare. And you wonder why your kids yell and scream at each other. You wonder, sir, why your kids talk back to your wife. They learned it somewhere. We may have to get our mouths wired shut. Hey, maybe there's some cancer working inside your marriage. It eats away. Starts out small and begins to eat away. What is that one little thing that sets off the chain reaction in your marriage? Unforgiveness is like a cancer. Some of you need to learn to take your treatment, get your chemo, get to the altar, forgive, and get on with your marriage before that unforgiveness just eats away and deteriorates the bones and the flesh of your marriage. Bitterness is a cancer. Feeling cheated is a cancer. You say, I feel cheated. Well, just so you all know, life is not fair. If you don't learn to take some unfairness in life, you're going to be miserable and depressed and always willing to throw in the towel and give up. Life is not fair. And I'm not saying it's right for anybody to be cheated. I'm just telling you it's going to happen. What's eating away at your marriage like a cancer? What sinful habits eating away at your marriage? Bad music, bad entertainments, bad reading materials, bad relationships. Somebody better get your cancer taken care of. You know, stitches will help to heal. I remember I was I actually had a basketball goal fall on my hand and tore the palm of my hand out. I had 27 stitches in the palm of my hand. Now, they said it'll heal, but the stitches are going to have to hold that thing closed. Now, some of you, we need to stitch you up a little bit, and I'll promise you healing will come. You say, well, what kind of thing will help stitch up a marriage? How about your vows? Well, whatever happened to people just keeping their word? Did you get married and say for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and health, till death do us part? Did you or didn't you? Then suck it up and keep your word. Or be a liar. It's what everybody else is doing. Got tough, I'll quit. Things aren't going well, I'll quit. Stitch that thing together. Remember your vows and hold your marriage together. What could stitch up a marriage? Well, how about your kids? Don't you think your kids deserve having a mom and dad that get along at home? Did they ask for all the fussing and fighting and the fuming and all of that? No, they didn't. Stitch it up for your kids. How about for your parents? Don't break your parents' heart. How about for your God? Stitch it up. Healing will come, but there's going to have to be some stitching going on where you hold things together until the healing gets here. Some of you need to decide to try again. Some of you need to decide not to be a quitter. I was thinking the other day, you know, Brother Davis, something that my dad never taught me how to do? He never taught me how to give up and quit. I never learned how to quit. I was thinking the other day there was somebody that needed help and their life was a mess. And I thought, I wonder if I ought to give up. And it occurred to me, I've never given up on anybody. But Ronnie, I don't know how to give up on people. I don't. It's not for some of you to decide not to give up. Look, whatever shape you're in, I won't give up on you. I'll fight to keep things good. I'll fight to keep things right. I'll fight to help keep you together. But I can't do it all for you. You're going to have to decide, I'm going to stitch this thing up. I made some vows. I got some kids. I don't want to hurt my parents. I want my God to be pleased. I'm going to hold it together. He said, for better, for worse. Look, who can't handle for better? He said, got worse. So? You said you knew that it could get worse when you took the vow. Our finances are a wreck. So? He said, for richer, for poorer, remember what you said. In sickness and in health, you say, but he's sick or she's sick, and it's just getting us down. Look, you made a promise. Stitch that thing up. I heard a guy say, I'm so sorry to hear that your wife ran away with your chauffeur. Husband said, oh, it's no problem. I was going to get a new driver anyway. Now listen, recovery times when you're trying to heal this marriage body, it takes a little while. The Bible says in Psalm 147:3, it says, He healeth the brokenhearted. You're going to have to give yourself some time to heal. You're going to have to decide. You're going to stitch this thing up and let it heal and let some of this medicine that I've given you today prompt you to become healthy. And listen, one of the two in the marriage will heal slower than the other. It's almost always the case. If Mrs. Owens and I, if we get into a tiff, I've learned that as a lady, her emotions are a little different than mine. A little, nothing. but we're different. Man, you might find you men saying, hey, okay, I'm sorry, it's over. Let's kiss and make up. And the wife's saying, whoa, slow down. Relax. I'm going to be mad for a little while. Give me room to be mad. You may be different, but hang in there, man. Don't run when that happens. No, men want to kiss and make up quickly. The wife's emotions might be a little different. You know, there are two periods in a man's life when he won't understand his wife. That's before marriage and after marriage. Hey, now let me warn you. Just like so many diseases, and we're concerned about having a healthy marriage and pumping into it the antibiotics and the things that will keep us from dying and ruining our marriage and our relationship, bad marriages can be contagious. Friends that you run with, you know, you men, you run in with some fella, he's always bad-mouthing his wife and all, you need to separate. You women, you're running with women that don't like their husbands, they want out of their marriage, they're rebellious. Hey, boy, what are you doing? Would you recommend your child run around with somebody that's on drugs? You're going to destroy your marriage by running with people, and it is contagious when people aren't happy in marriage. The contagious disease will take over yours. Get around some people that are happily married. And you better remember something. Your kids are learning how to be married by watching you. Some of you ought to feel sorry for them and knock it off and straighten some things up. As I was looking in my Bible, I noticed in Ephesians chapter 5 that God kept on comparing marriage and a body. How He didn't want it to be blemished and wrinkled and that they become one flesh. Now God wants our physical bodies to be as healthy as we can make it. But that must mean that when two people come together and they become one flesh, God wants that to be healthy. Your marriage ought to be healthy. So what do? We realize this. We realize that we can't be bleeders. We've got to be careful not to become hard and let that scar tissue get in the road. When something's broken, we can realize that nothing is ever resurrected that wasn't dead first. We may have to apply the antibiotics. We may have to get our mouth wired shut until we learn how to talk right. Watch out for little cancers that could grow. We stitch that thing up with some commitment. Realize recovery will come. But a recovery time may vary a little and decide, I'm not going to be around other people with contagious marital diseases. And you'd get your marriage together if you'd like to. God's a surgeon, but He can't fix anybody that won't take the medicine. He can't. And our goal here is not for you, sir, to say, did you hear what he said today? No, you take your own medicine. You take your own medicine. and that'll help you with your marriage. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes.